I've never brought a sermon with the Penguins. I feel like, you remember the movies, Marching with the Penguins? Well, we're preaching with the Penguins. Makes sense to me. We're going to be in Proverbs tonight. We're going to talk about one of the strongest little organs in our body tonight. It's called the tongue. I want to start this. We're going to read a few verses from Proverbs 6. 16 through 19. Most of us are familiar with this passage, but I want to start with that. There are six things which the Lord hates, seven of which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, false witness to breathe out lies, and lastly, a man who sows discord among brothers. The tongue is a mighty thing. It can be good, it can be bad. We have to learn how to control it, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I told Daryl, coming back from Primpton this morning, what we were going to talk about, and I said, probably there isn't one person sitting in here tonight, that, including myself, that won't get their toe stepped on. So we'll proceed with caution, and yet we'll talk about God's Word. A Greek philosopher asked his servant to provide the best dish possible. The servant prepared a dish of tongue, saying, "It is the best of all dishes, because with it we may bless and communicate happiness, dispel sorrow, remove despair, cheer the faint-hearted, inspire the discouraged, and say 100 other things to uplift mankind." Later, the philosopher asked the servant to provide the worst dish he could think of. Again, a dish of tongue appeared on the table. The servant said, "It is the worst, because with it we may curse and break human hearts, destroy reputations, promote discord and strife, set families, communities, and nations at war with each other." He was truly a wise servant. Solomon wrote, "Whoever keeps his tongue keeps his soul from trouble." There's nothing that seems more unsubstantial than speech. We just take it for granted. We talk, the tongue waggles. It's just a vibration of cords in our throat. There's no organ of the body that seems as small as the tongue, yet the words that come out of our mouths have great power and impact. If you think of the tongue as being kind of uncontrolled, a couple different examples came to my mind. One is a fire hose. If you're around a fire hose and you turn the water on and nobody's got a hold of the handle, it just goes wild, and it can do a lot of damage. The tongue being the same way. If no one has control of it, if you don't have control of it, it can go wild and just cause all kinds of problems. The other example I thought of was a steering wheel in an automobile. Where would we be without the steering wheel? The steering wheel controls the automobile. And yet, without the steering wheel, the car would still move and still go, but it would just go nuts. It would go wherever it wanted to go. With the steering wheel, you can take it where you want to. With control over the tongue, you can make it either good or you can make it bad. That's your control. The tongue, we're going to look at three or four different things here. We're going to look at several verses in Proverbs to establish what I'm talking about this evening. We're going to start in Proverbs 29 and verse 11. And again, we're going to be in Proverbs, so we're just going to jump around in Proverbs a little bit tonight. 29 verse 11. It says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man quietly holds it back. The tongue is a source of quarreling. It's a source of discord. It causes our mouth to erupt with evil." If you didn't have a tongue, you wouldn't have to worry about anything evil coming out of there. You also wouldn't have to worry about anything good coming out of there. So as it says here, a fool gives full vent to his anger. In other words, he has no control over it. And you know, if you've studied Proverbs at all, the word fool is used a lot. And if you've gone into any study on the word fool, it's a very, for lack of better terms, it's a very bad word to call someone a fool. And if you study it out, you would understand what that is. But the fool gets full vent to his anger, and then he turns around and said, the wise man quietly builds it back, holds it back. So, you know, we've all heard the thing, count to 10 before you speak. When you're angry, maybe turn around and take a walk and come back, let things simmer down. That's what the wise man does. The foolish man just lets it go, tears up whatever's in his way. When we become angry, we need to put our hands over our mouths, and that's directed in Proverbs 30, 32, and 33. It reads, if you have been foolish exalting yourself, in other words, if you've lost yourself, you've lost your temper, whatever it is, if you've been foolish, or if you have been devising evil, you're plotting something that's against God or it's against mankind, you're plotting evil, put your hand over your mouth. Why would that be? If I put my hand, you can't hear me. I can't speak. I can't make damage happen. I can't go about doing the evil devising evil. And then in verse 33 it says, for pressing milk produces curds, pressing the nose produces blood, and pressing anger produces strife. Okay? So if you're gonna let that anger get the best of you, if you're gonna let it press on, it's gonna produce strife. Nothing new to us, we know that. But again, I want to bring it back to mind. Some of the things that happens when we let this tongue just kind of waggle and go out of control. Amen. What is strife? Can be a definition of many things. Used in the church, used in a congregation, it creates divisions. It stirs the pot, if you will. It's something that creates tension amongst the brethren. Strife. Horrible. The tongue is the source of quarreling and discord. Secondly, the tongue can speak gossip. We've had lesson after lesson after lesson on gossip. But again, this is a lesson to bring back to our minds, to put us back aware of how dangerous the tongue can be. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. With his tongue, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. Okay, so the tongue can be deceptive, it can be cruel, it can be deadly. It's destroyed more lives than all the wars of history. Just by saying something. And a lot of times it's something you don't even mean to say. Or it can be something said that's taken out of context or not understood properly. I run into it when I'm trying to send messages out. What I'm thinking sometimes doesn't come across on a message. You know, people who have given their phones up and throw them away and don't do any talking on the phone are missing out because you don't know and you can't portray exactly what you're trying to say to someone by typing it. It just can't be done. There's no feeling there. You know, we can put little modems and things in there, but it just is not the same as talking to someone. So we need to be careful of what we're doing here in the fact that that tongue is deceptive, it's cruel, and it's deadly. And when you're spreading gossip with the mouth of the godless man, that would destroy the neighbor. How are you going to destroy the neighbor? You're going to talk about him. How are you going to destroy a brother or sister? You talk about him. You become deceptive with it. You become to a point where, did you hear about so-and-so? Well, so-and-so did this, and we can't be doing that. That is gossip. I'm never at an ease with a person that talks about others. I don't think you probably are either. Now, here's what comes to my mind, and I always think, if they're talking to me about someone, what are they saying to someone about me? I get real nervous about that. I also get real nervous just listening to it because I really don't want to know. If I want to know something about Kurt, I'll go ask him. I don't need somebody telling me about Kurt. I don't need to listen to it. Or anybody else sitting there that's picked on you, Kurt. You have to be right there. So it's just you know, it's just being cautious. It's knowing what you want to do, knowing what you want to say, having control over your mind, your heart, and your tongue, and before you let it waggle out. You know, another example, you know, when you have an automobile with a clutch in it, you push the clutch in before you put it in gear, right? So why don't you let your mind be the clutch? Let it think a little bit before you put the tongue in gear. It would be a lot easier to get good things coming out instead of bad things. Try to put that transmission in gear without pushing in the clutch. It grinds and howls, and you know, if you're quick enough and fast enough and you pull hard enough, you can get it in there. But it's not going to work well. Same thing with your tongue and your thoughts. If you don't let that sink in and think about what you're going to do, you're going to turn that tongue loose, and it's going to grind and it's going to do whatever it wants to. But if it forces far enough, it'll get out what it wants to. And usually it's not good. The temptation to gossip, just being tempted to gossip, can be something you can't handle. It can be a great temptation. And guys, I find myself doing it. And it just slips, and you don't even think about it until after you've said it. You think, why in the world did I say that? That didn't need to be done. There's satisfaction in knowing something about somebody else. That's just human nature. Stacy, you can tell me all you want to about Bruce. I won't tell nobody, I promise. And pretty soon, something slips out. Something else slips out. Something else slips out. So be careful. Be careful what you do. The satisfaction, the knowing of something about somebody else. It just, some reason, it's something that's inside us. It just drives us. And we listen. Sometimes rather intently. When we don't even want to be listening, but it's just something that says, hey, you got to know this. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. This again, talking about the gossiper. This is kind of calm terminology, I think. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. How well do we like cookies or cake or ice cream or steak or lobster? Delicious, right? Good food. Well, the words of a whisperer to someone who wants to listen to gossip can be just as good. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. And to finish that thought, they go down into the inner parts of the body. They can really get a hold of you. But again, it's human nature, I think. We somehow, somewhy, we just have to know. And when someone comes to us with some information about somebody, for some reason, we find ourselves needing to listen to it instead of just walking away and saying, I don't want to listen to that stuff. Because it's just like delicious food. It gets you, and it goes clear down into the inner parts of the body. Gossip can destroy programs at the church. Somewhere along the line in our lives, we've probably seen that happen somewhere. It can ruin a reputation. We've probably seen that happen. Just a spill of a few words can kill somebody's reputation. It can break up a home. What about the spouse that was accused of going out on her husband or wife and nothing really happened, but they were accused of it? It can tear it apart. Somebody just spreading a rumor, spreading gossip, can just tear it apart. Families torn apart. Close friends can be separated. Just because of something that was said. Friendships that have been for years, all of a sudden they don't even talk to each other. And what I read and what I see many times, they don't even try to make up to each other. Well, you said that about me and that's it, I'm done. And there's no listening. That's how harsh this can be. The same thing that happened inside a church. you said this about me and I'm done. I'm out the door. I'm never coming back to that place. And they won't even give you a chance to say, well, this is what I meant. Because they heard it, maybe second or third hand of what you said, and it hurt them. It took them clear to the quick. It hurt them that bad. And people, I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of Christians that wear their emotions on their sleeves. And we have to be very careful about what we say and what we do to not offend someone. Someone may be looking for an excuse to go out the back door and not come back. I don't want to be that reason that gave them that excuse to go out there. I don't want to do it. So be very cautious about what we say and about what we do. We've got a lot of things in this congregation to be thankful for. Amen. We don't need to look beyond to find a problem. Let's talk about the good. You know, Daryl and I go to Pahrump today. It's a very exhilarating experience to go to Pahrump and help them. There's only five of them in the congregation this morning. Brian had 12. I told Eddie, I said, I think they must have heard Daryl and I were coming and stayed home. But it's a really small congregation, and they've got one guy, Eddie. And when we're not up there with some of our people, he does it all. He does communion. He does the song leading. He does the preaching. Leads the class. He does the whole thing. And we've got congregations. We've got men in this congregation, plenty ample men to do things. We've got the same in Victory Road, same in Bright Angels, same in Lincoln, Nebraska. Every church I've been to. This is the first church that I've ever worshipped at or with that only, if we're not there, only has one guy. And if he gets sick, they got no guy. How fortunate are we to be a congregation of 60, 70, 80, 90 people? Amen. We need to look at what we have, don't look at what we don't have. Gossip, destroying programs of the church, ruining reputations, breaking up homes, separating friends. We're deceived if we think gossip is telling a lie about someone, because gossip can be the truth. But if it destroys another, it's ungodly and it's wicked. Lastly, we'll talk about profanity. Start with Proverbs 6:12. It's a tongue that speaks perverse, filthy words, a mouth that draws its vocabulary from the cesspools of speech. It draws it clear from the bottom. We look at verse 12 in chapter 6. It says, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. That's profanity. We look at Proverbs 10. Verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. It's all about our thoughts. It's all about how we conduct ourselves, what we think, and how we react to things. If we're a person that is easily angered and easily speeched with that anger, we're going to have a problem. If we can sit back and look at a situation and say, well, really, it's not all that bad. Let me think about it, and then we'll address it. Then you're not going to come with the bad stuff. Your tongue isn't going to get out of control over what it wants to do and say. Proverbs 12 and verse 6. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. I'm going to get you. I'll take my revenge on you. We studied a little bit about that this morning. God says, revenge is mine, leave it alone. You don't have to do that. But the mouth of the upright delivers men. So basically, the words of the wicked are going to destroy men. The words of the upright will deliver men. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If we don't have to, if we control what we say, and everything that comes out of our mouth is productive, then we're going to deliver men. Those of us that at one time or now have businesses, how much better is it to treat the employee fair and equitable than to yell at them and scream at them. You're going to get a lot more production. What's the thing with the vinegar and the honey? A little honey will bring a lot more than the vinegar will. And it's the same thing. Same thing within the body of the church. Good words coming out of someone's mouth will build up somebody. Bad words is going to tear them down, just like gossip will. The perverse tongue is learned from others, from literature, from media, in our own minds. And Proverbs 17, verse 4. Bear in mind, there's a lot more examples throughout the Bible of some of these things that I'm talking about. These are just some that I picked. Proverbs 12 and 6 says, an evildoer listens. Pick this up. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. They want to know. And a liar gives heed to a mischievous tongue. Okay, so the evildoer, the wicked guy, the wicked mind wants to know. He listens to other wicked lips. And then that liar gives heed to a mischievous tongue. He lets it do whatever he wants, whatever that tongue wants to do. You understand what I'm saying here? That because sometimes we listen to evil things, it comes into our mind as evil, and there's evil people, there's evil minds that want to listen to that stuff, so that they then maybe can add to their own repertoire, so that they can have more ammunition to go about what they want to do as far as tearing someone down. The perverse tongue is learned from others. You can't learn it on your own. Where did you learn how to gossip? So you listen to somebody. Where did you learn how to swear? You listen to somebody. You didn't learn all that on your own. God didn't put it in your head. You've had to listen to it somewhere along the way. Let's go to Proverbs 4 and 24. There's warning against this type of communication. And we're going to look at a couple different things here. 4 and 24. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far away from you. That's pretty plain and simple, huh? Just put it away. Stop it. If you want a message from God, stop it. Get it out of your life. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. That's Paul talking to the Colossian church. Put them away. How are you going to be a righteous, upstanding Christian brother or sister if you've got these things bothering you? You have to put them away. Ephesians 4:29, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. Amen. How are we going to impart grace to someone if we let our anger take control of us? And we can't control the mouth and we can't control the tongue. How are we going to edify someone? It's impossible. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about family, friends, business, church. It doesn't matter. If you've got bad stuff coming out of your mouth, you cannot edify and build someone else up. It is impossible. So we've talked about the tongue being the source of quarreling and discord. We've talked about the tongue being a source of gossip. We've talked about the profanity. Lastly, I want to just touch on the tongue as it speaks lies. That can kind of be coordinated back up into gossip, but not all gossip is lie. Some of it's true. It can be coordinated back up into quarreling and discord, because a lot of times, especially in a congregation like this, a lot of times you've got to stretch the truth, falsify it a little bit in order for it to cause discord. If you're telling the truth, you've got no discord. It won't happen. So the deceitful, lying, flattering tongue will kill, it'll rob, and it'll hide. And the liar cannot be trusted. Just can't be done. Proverbs 14:25. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who utters lies is a betrayer. Bingo. Proverbs 21:6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. You can deceive someone, you can lie to someone, you can have treasure, but it's nothing but a vapor. 25:18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Read that again. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Cut you to death. Lying about your neighbor. 26:28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Flattering coming right in with lying. You know, I've heard Bruce tell a story. I've told a story. His wife comes to you and says, "How's that dress look?" How do you get around that if it looks ugly? Without lying. They say sometimes the truth hurts. Well, you just won't bear the consequences because you better tell the truth. That she asked the question, or he asked the question, if it be the other side of the coin. Be truthful. Be truthful. I'm going to reread 6:16 through 19. We started with that. I want to take another look at it just for a second because I think it's important that we understand what God hates. And he calls it an abomination. There are six things the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination. Number one, haughty eyes. Number two, we just talked about it, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that make haste to run to evil. Just can't wait to get there. Number six, a false witness who breathes out lies. We just heard and read about tearing your neighbor down, being like a sword to testify falsely against him. And lastly, the man who sows discord amongst the brotherhood. These seven things, people, are an abomination. God hates them. As strong as you can put on that word. The ways of lying are varied. It can just be an outright bold lie where it's not truthful at all. It can also be saying too much. Flattery, if you will. You're going on and on and on, and pretty soon you're telling stuff that really isn't true. Trying to win brownie points, if you will. The other side of the coin, saying too little. Hiding truth. I'll tell the truth, but I'm not going to tell you the whole truth. Statements that make implications. That's really tough to tell. Somebody will make a statement. Some person will make a statement. And it's not really saying what the person really wants to say, but they imply that this is what it is. Same as a lie. Speaking falsely in worship and doctrine. Right back to the brotherhood. Right back to what God says, the man who sows discord among brothers. False teaching, discord, false doctrine, all the same thing. We have to be very careful of that, especially those of us that preach and teach. We're told that we have an added responsibility. If we, you know, I shudder if I say something wrong and nobody corrects me, because I have no idea, because I said it because I thought it was right, may not always be the case. I stand corrected if someone hears me say something that's wrong. whether it be class, whether it be in sermon, or whether it be just talking, because it can happen. That's the tongue, people, in a nutshell. If you study the tongue, you're going to find a lot more to study about than what I've given you tonight. But it's deceitful, it causes quarrels, it causes discord, it will cause you to gossip, it will cause profanity, it will cause you to tear men down, tear them to pieces. You cannot build people up with an unruly tongue, and it can lie, and it can lie, and it can lie. And you can become, you somewhere along the way, probably all of us have met or talked with someone that we would put in classification as a habitual liar. They've told so many lies, they believe them themselves. So just be careful, be cautious. Put the mind in gear before you let the tongue rattle out. That's a lot easier than just letting it go. The problem, it's not with the tongue, it's with the heart. The heart has to be cleansed in order for the tongue to work properly. If you take just a glance here at the waters of Marah were bitter until Moses put in the tree. The heart will remain evil until we put in the tree, the cross that Jesus died on. Once that happens, then you can start to heal. But the heart has to be cleansed in order for the tongue to work properly. Blessingers, I always enjoy being in front of you and bringing a lesson. If there are any in here this evening that have not been baptized, baptism is readily available. We would recommend, if you haven't done it, that you would accept Jesus, put him in your life, put that tree in your heart, cleanse your heart, and go on with life and live righteous. We also have this time available if anyone has problems in their life or they just need some strength and some build up and want the prayers of the congregation, we can do that too. So if you have a need, let it be known as we stand and sing.